Sunday, 1 o'clock, the Browns and the Bengals, the Battle of Ohio, Round 2, Burrow versus Baker. And to talk more about that, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline. We bring in the Bengals team reporter. You can follow her on Twitter, at Bengals Marissa. She is Marissa Contepelli. Marissa, how are you?
I am doing great, Kenny. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you, dear. And we want to know more about this Bengals team. Since the last time we saw them, back on September 17th in Cleveland, when the Browns outscored them 35-30 in a fun, exciting, high-scoring game, since then, they've picked up their first win of the season. Joe Burrow putting up some nice numbers. So tell us what's going right for the Bengals and what is still going wrong, because they are 1-4-1.
Right. Well, they've certainly been in a lot of close situations. They could certainly have more than one win on the season when you look at that tie against Philadelphia and last week against the Colts, having a 21-point lead but not being able to hang on to it on the defensive end. But offensively, you know, this team has really kind of started to find its rhythm and find its groove. The offensive line has played much better as of late, and they really have strong first quarter last week against Indianapolis, getting two rushing touchdowns and really getting creating some holes for this run game, because we saw it early on, and even in that Browns game, the Bengals really couldn't get anything going on the ground, and that is going to be a little bit tougher for them Sunday because Joe Mixon will not be playing. He's already been ruled out with a foot injury, so going to be a little bit tougher for the Bengals offense, but you mentioned Joe Burrow. You obviously don't want to see him throwing it as many times as he did that first time around against Cleveland, but you know what, Kenny? He has just been so fun and impressive to watch. He is making small mistakes, as any rookie quarterback is going to do, you know, trying to do too much and forcing things at times, but his balls are just so perfect and so pretty, right where they need to be to the receivers, and he's doing a really good job of going through his checks and everything that you're really expecting out of a veteran quarterback, not necessarily a rookie quarterback. So Joe Burrow is bringing this offense around, and you also have their second round receiver, T. Higgins, who's starting to really come into his own over the last few weeks as well. So offensively, things are definitely trending in the right direction for this team.
Yeah, the last time he was in Cleveland, he threw it 61 times, what you were referencing there, Marissa, 316 yards, three touchdowns. So he had a nice game statistically, but they were unable to, you know, complete the comeback and beat the Browns. In their one win, they beat the Jaguars. What did they do well in that one win that they need to duplicate more of?
Well, in that game, they were really able to have a balanced offensive attack. They were able to get the run game going early. And for the first time in a couple of years, they eclipsed 500 total yards of offense. They were almost balanced on the stat sheet with what was coming through the air and what was going on the ground. And that was really the first game of the last couple that you looked at that Bengals offensive line, and they were really doing its job, getting that push that they were looking to get to, especially to get that run game going. So that's going to be even more of a challenge on Sunday without Joe Mixon playing. You're going to look at Giovanni Bernard, who's a fine back, but he's more of a receiving back and a receiving threat than that nitty-gritty kind of running back that Joe Mixon brings to the table. So they will be rotating in Samaje Perine and Travion Williams into the mix, so it'll be interesting to see what the two of those guys are able to bring to the run game, Kenny. But if this Bengals offense is not able to get some type of run game going, it's just going to be – it could be a long day for Burrow and the offense, because you don't want to see them having to throw it 61 times like we did that first time around. And that's what they were able to accomplish in Jacksonville. Having a more balanced attack opened up the playbook a little bit more, and you saw the results, them getting their first win of the season.
We're going behind enemy lines here today on the Kenny and JT Show in Cincinnati, where the Browns will play Sunday at 1 o'clock. Marissa Contepelli, Bengals beat reporter, team reporter, joining us right now to give us the 411 on the Bengals, who come in at 1-4-1. Defensively, when you're up 21-0, I don't know what the stats say, but there's a pretty good chance you win that game. Where are they lacking, Marissa, defensively, where they've blown that game and they've given up a lot of points in some games?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's really two glaring factors for the defense right now. The first being up front, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap not playing as much as we've been accustomed to seeing them play in the past. And so you have kind of a different defensive line in there. The team will get defensive tackle Mike Daniels back, who had been on IR for the past few weeks. with a shoulder injury. So he is going to be back out there for the team. And so that could be a little bit more of a boost and bolster to this defensive line, because they really kind of struggled there in the second half against the Colts last week, as Phillip Rivers was starting to get into a groove with his offense. And then you also look at the Bengals secondary. William Jackson got a little banged up last week, has a concussion, will be out for Sunday against the Browns. And he's the one that had the pick off of Baker Mayfield in week two. And so you're going to have a couple of other guys rotating in those cornerback slots. So a little bit of kind of injuries in the secondary that could be a little bit of a concern for this Bengals team right now. But, you know, hopefully those other guys, you look at LaShawn Sims and a couple of the other guys that are going to be rotating in, going to have a little bit better of a game than they did after William Jackson went out on Sunday.
All right, so we look at this team. We knew it was a rebuilding year for them. Joe Burrow, number one pick. You know, they're hoping that he's the guy of the future for them at quarterback. But for this team moving forward, do they have the right coach? That's, I think, people in Cleveland are hoping that Kevin Stefanski's the right guy for the football team to change the culture, develop Baker Mayfield, and put this team in contention in the AFC North and for the playoffs. Do they feel that they have the right coach, Zach Taylor, there in Cincinnati?
They do, Kenny. And I mean, Zach has shown incredible leadership over the last 2 weeks because last year was a complete rebuilding year. And even coming into this year, you get Joe Burrow, but you're still trying to get other pieces around him, still trying to work in, you know, a new offensive scheme. And so he has the leadership, and he really does have the respect and the command from the majority of the locker room and the belief of not only the players, but of ownership and everyone else involved on the football side. And Kenny, this team has been so close. They just need a break here or there to go their way. And, you know, they'll start getting some wins. And that's what you hope to see out of the second half of the season. And as this team approaches, you know, the halfway point, is just to start converting and not missing out on those chances like they've done early on in the season, because that's only going to add to the confidence and the culture and everything else that, you know, Zach Taylor is trying to establish.
I want to go back to a couple of things you mentioned earlier, Marissa, and that is you mentioned T. Higgins. I see Tyler Boyd's their top receiver. A.J. Green, is he healthy? How is he playing? Because in years past, he was the number one. He was their go-to guy. Has he fallen in a pecking order of not being their number one go-to receiver now?
Yeah, you know what? I can't believe I didn't even mention A.J. when you asked about last week, because, you know, Burrow and Higgins had kind of stolen the show at times. But, yeah. You know, A.J., it was so great to see him finally look like vintage A.J. that you're used to seeing from 2015, 2016. He's finally healthy. And he told me that earlier in the week, that Sunday was the first time his body really felt right. And he really had that confidence and, you know, that mindset that he's been, you know, waiting to get to. And so, you know, he said it took him the first couple of catches on Sunday and all, you know, he started to get into a groove and started to really feel him like himself. And Kenny, he had 8 catches in that game. That's the most catches he has had since week 3 of 2017. So the fact that AJ has dealt with so many injuries and adversity over the last 2 seasons, it's just a big lift for this team. And just the fact that him and Burrow are starting to form a little bit more chemistry. Burrow is showing trust in AJ. He went to AJ on a couple of key fourth down situations in Sunday's game that they were able to get conversions on. So he is definitely a big boost to this offense when he's in there. And I think that's kind of something that's nice for the Bengals. I don't know who you would necessarily say is their true number one receiver. I think you kind of have to go with AJ, just given his track record and his history and what you know he's capable of doing. But Tyler Boyd, man, he's really come into his own over the last 2 years. Back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving games. He's off to a quietly solid start to 2020. I feel like he gets overlooked and overshadowed sometimes. And then you add T. Higgins, who, you know, he's just keeps improving each week and had his first 100-plus-yard receiving game of the season on Sunday. So with those 3 guys, I mean, there's a lot of talent in this wide receiver room. And that's not even to mention a guy like Auden Tate, who all he has done in his past year with the team is make contested catches and those flashy highlight reel grabs. And so there's a lot of weapons around Joe Burrow, which, you know, can only help a rookie quarterback in his first season.
All right, I've got to believe, they won't say this, Marissa, but I've got to believe some of the Browns players looked at the schedule and said, good, it's the Bengals. We got our butts kicked by Baltimore in week 1. The elixir was we got to play the Bengals in week 2. We just got our butts kicked by the Steelers, in week 6. Look at the schedule. Oh, good. It's the Bengals again. Yeah, it's on the road, but it's still the Bengals. That's the elixir to cure our ills. Do the Bengals look at the Browns and say that's a team we should have beat and we can beat? Because the Browns are definitely looking at the Bengals and going, this is our fifth win of the season.
I'm sure if you ask any guy in the Bengals locker room, they would have said that they should have won that game week two. They had opportunities and chances and just didn't get it done. And, you know, I'm sure there's a common, you know, thinking where you're looking at a Browns team who just came off that game against the Steelers, and I'm sure the Bengals would be like, yeah, okay, you know, I'm glad to have them on the schedule, knowing how close they were in week two, and especially right. with Cincinnati coming off the game they did on Sunday. I know these guys are ready to get back out there because that was a sour taste in their mouth to go up 21-0 and not be able to hold on and to finish it. They want to get back out there and right the wrong, you know, that happened in that second half against the Colts. And so, I mean, I think that sentiment definitely goes both ways with these teams this week.
Marissa Contepelli is our guest, Bengals team reporter. Follow her on Twitter, at Bengals Marissa. And Marissa, one of the things we saw last week was Baker Mayfield, not just last week, but it was really amped up last week, is he's not good in the pocket. The Steelers rushed wide and put a lot of pressure on him, sacked him four times, I think hit him 11 other times, 15 quarterback pressures. And so they got after him, and he's playing with bruised ribs already, and he played horrible last week in the game against Pittsburgh. How is the pass rush for the Cincinnati Bengals, and are they able to put the pressure on Baker Mayfield like the Steelers did? Because if they do, they'll have a chance of winning for sure this week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kenny. It's going to be crucial for this Bengals defensive line to create some kind of pressure in the pass rush to force Baker into making a mistake like we've seen him do time and time again. For Cincinnati, though, they're missing one of their top guys in edge rusher, Sam Hubbard. He's currently on IR, so he's going to be out for this week. You do have a guy in Carl Lawson who's in his fourth season, and he's very strong off of the edge. But this defensive line has taken a little bit of a hit with injuries, and injuries have just kept piling up for this team. So overall, you know, you certainly want to see them try to create that pressure. But just seeing what Phillip Rivers did for the Colts last week and the trend that this defensive line has been going, it's certainly going to be a key and something to watch. Carlos Dunlap is going to be in more of a situational role, playing on, you know, key third down passing situations, kind of as a pass rush specialist. And he's actually just one sack away from tying the Bengals franchise lead with 83.5 sacks. So he's accustomed to getting in quarterback spaces. But it's certainly going to be a big test for the Bengals D-line for sure.
All right, what's the crowd situation there in Cincinnati? How many fans are going to be allowed in this game, Marissa?
Yeah, so there's an allotment. It was increased from our previous home game. So there's going to be over 9,000 fans for this one. I do not have the official number yet, but it's going to be significantly more. It was about 6,000 for the last home game, and it was a pretty rowdy environment. I mean, the fans were into it. So adding a couple more thousand into the mix is certainly going to be fun. And, you know, hopefully the weather cooperates for us on Sunday and they're loud, they're into it, because, I mean, that makes a difference. And I'm sure both teams would rather play with fans and crowd noise and excitement than in an empty stadium.
Marissa Contepelli, we appreciate the insight on the Bengals. Thanks so much for joining us once again. We'll see how the Battle of Ohio Part 2 plays out on Sunday, all right?
Thank you, Kenny.